Shut up and sit down.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Master the NEC, where we talk about the National Electrical Code and all things electrically related. My name is Paul Abernathy, your host. Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for taking the time out of your day to listen to our podcast. And thank you for sharing our podcast with so many people out there. We do appreciate it. Our podcasts are available on Spreaker, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Gosh, a bunch of different platforms out there that you can listen to us on. People even listen on their Alexa devices using Spotify. Again, yes, you can listen on Spotify. We're there. Just search for Master the NEC and you'll find us. It just makes it really convenient to listen in the car on the job site. You also can listen from our website. Obviously, you can go to masterthenec.com and up at the top, you'll see a podcast link and you can listen to all the shows from there as well from any browser-enabled mobile device. But you also can listen over on our YouTube channel. So go to youtube.com/masterthenec, and we put all of our podcasts over there as well for your convenience. I know that's a video platform, but we share all of our podcasts over there. Usually it will say podcast in the thumbnail so that you can determine whether or not it's a video or a podcast. And so you just have so many ways that you can listen to the show. So we do appreciate you doing that. Also, we do have a sponsor. We want to give homage to our sponsor for helping keep the show afloat, and that is Electrician Pride. So I'm going to run the commercial for Electrician Pride, and then we're going to get into today's topic, which is talking about meeting rooms and the receptacle requirements, and we're going to clear the air when it comes to 210.65A and B in this episode. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. Today's show is sponsored by ElectricianPride.com. Your one-stop shop for electrician-specific t-shirts, hoodies, phone cases, mugs, die-cut stickers, leggings, and so much more. Featuring unique designs for electricians, journeymen, and master electricians, as well as electrical engineers and electrical inspectors. For more information on all the products that are available, visit us at www.electricianpride.com today. All right, so again, if you want some unique products, duffel bags, we have all unique designs. They're not copies of anybody. They're all unique. We create them ourselves. They're done by our division called Code Cocky Graphics, and they're really neat, and they're there to promote your pride as an electrician, journeyman, master. So check it out. We appreciate all the patronage you give us over there on Electrician Pride. So give it a look at www.electricianpride.com. All right, so as I said in the intro, today's video podcast, I should say, is going to be on meeting rooms and the required receptacles. Now, prior to the 2017 National Electrical Code, there really wasn't any requirement for receptacles in these meeting rooms. Now, I spent a lot of time in these meeting rooms, and of course, we're using extension cords, relocatable power taps, daisy chaining them. You know, that's all done by the hotel, but we need it for the capacity. We have tons of laptops, tons of charging devices, projectors, all these type of things, maybe a phone conferencing system. So we need power. And we don't want extension cords running everywhere. It's just inconvenient and they become trip hazards. It is what it is. And so in the 2017, there was an effort here to establish the requirements, which is kind of a first, other than like sign outlet requirements that you have in commercial buildings. This was kind of a first to say, look, we're going to force you to put receptacles in meeting rooms, and we're going to let you put them where you want, but we're going to force you to at least put some in there, and we're going to force you to put a certain number in there, which is a first for this. So 2017 started that up, and of course, 2020 modified it a little bit, made it a little clearer how you do the measurement for the floor area, and that's what we're going to talk about today, and I'm going to break it down. So if you've got your code books, we're in the 2020 edition of the National Electrical Code. And we're talking about meeting rooms, and we're in 210.65. Now, this is broken into a general, which is going to establish the room size. And then there is a B, which is going to establish the receptacle outlets that's being required. Okay, so So two different things going on here. So we're going to start off with A, which is the general rule. And it's going to establish the size of the rule, size of the room that this rule is going to apply to. And it is a very limited size, by the way. It's not all meeting rooms. It's very size specific. It says, A, general, says each meeting room of not more than 1,000 square feet in other than dwelling units shall have outlets for non-locking type 125 volt, 15 or 20 amp receptacles. So let's stop right there first. So this is very much an outlet rule, not a receptacle device rule. This is an outlet being a box, right? Being the point in the system where you take power from, right? So another thing that we like to tell everybody is people sometimes will call outlets a receptacle device. That is not the point. That is not what we're talking about here. So if you look at Article 100, the definition of the term outlet is a point on the wiring system at which current is taken to supply utilization equipment. Makes sense, right? So an outlet can be a receptacle outlet if you're going to put a receptacle device inside of an outlet box, okay? If you're going to hang a luminaire on an outlet, then it becomes a lighting outlet box, okay? But the key is we're talking about the box and the point where we would take power from. It just so happens that this rule in 210.65A is telling us that in that outlet box, it's going to be a receptacle outlet box so that we can put a receptacle device in that outlet box. You with me? Okay. So we're all clear. So it can be a 15 or 20 amp receptacle. It doesn't matter whether it's a simplex or a duplex. It's irrelevant because this rule is about the receptacle outlet box. Okay. It's not about the device. It's telling us that it's got to be there so that we can put a device in that box, and it'll refer to it as a receptacle outlet because that's the device that's going in that outlet box, okay? All right, so then it goes on to say, look, where outlets shall be installed in and the outlets shall be installed in accordance with 210.65B. Now, B is what we're going to look at in a minute, and that is going to be establishing the number of outlet box is necessary per this rule. But this is the charging statement. This is the general rule. This is telling us where we're going to get this. So we know this applies to what? It applies to meeting rooms that are not more than 1,000 square feet. We got it. And it applies, these outlet boxes have to be installed in other than dwellings. Got it. So any commercial application, commercial building, office buildings, whatever, we got it. And they have to be non-locking type, which is just your standard receptacles. And it can be 15 or 20 amp receptacles go in that outlet box. Got it. Now, to determine the number of them that we need, then we're going to use 210.65B. We got it. Now, what about meeting rooms that are bigger than 1,000 square feet? Well, here's what it says. Where the room or space is provided with movable partitions, each room size shall be determined with the partitions in the position that results in the smallest size meeting room. So I like to give an example. So I have a meeting room that is 2,000 square feet. If that meeting room did not have partitions to section off that room into two separate 1,000 square foot spaces, then this rule would not apply. If it has a partition, you must put it in place so that it divides the rooms up into the smallest size room, meeting room. So in this case, if I had 2,000 square foot meeting room and I had a partition down the middle and I close that partition and now effectively I have two separate 1,000 square foot meeting rooms, then this rule is going to apply and I get to keep going on in this rule. Okay? So that's established. You got to put the partitions in place if they're available, that whatever results in the smallest room. Now, there are two informational notes here that are noteworthy, okay, pun intended, but they are just for information only. They're just basically telling you that the purpose of this rule was because it's designed to have a gathering where we would have seated occupants, and it would be something like a purpose of conference deliberations, debate. And we have electronic devices, laptops, charging for our phones, all these type of things need to have receptacles for this. So this information note is just reminding us this is kind of why we're doing this. We need to have more receptacles in these rooms for our devices and our computers and things like that. Okay. So this is just an informational note. You can read it. That's all it's really establishing. It's not enforceable. It's just kind of saying, this is why we're doing what we're doing. The second informational note is just giving you examples of what is not considered a meeting room. And it's saying, look, auditoriums are not a meeting room. Usually you sit in those chairs, you don't have your laptops, you're watching a performance or something's going on. That is not a meeting room. School rooms, you know, in your high schools, middle schools, those are not meeting rooms. They're school rooms. Okay. And then of course, coffee houses or coffee shops. Just because it's a Starbucks, just because you might have a meeting there does not constitute that as a meeting room where this rule would kick in. Okay. So making it clear, again, these are informational notes, but they're there to help give guidance and help kind of paint a picture for the inspector and you, depending on your determination of what this room is, whether or not it falls under these, you know, something that might be similar to what's in this informational note to determine whether or not 210.65 is going to come into play. You with me? So that's what an informational note's all about. It's just informational, but it's good information. Next, we've established the rooms. So let's establish our room. This is our example that we did. It's 2,000 square foot meeting room. We have a partition in place. So now it breaks it into 2,000 square foot meeting rooms. So 210.65A is in play. So we've got two separate spaces we have to deal with when it comes to the receptacle outlet requirements. So now we move to 210.65B. This is the receptacle outlets that are required. So we established that our meeting rooms are 1,000 square foot or less. So now we can move on to B. Now here's what B says. It says, now this is important. It says the total number of receptacle outlets, including floor outlets and receptacle outlets in fixed furniture, shall not be less than determined in 1 and 2. Okay, so this is talking about the total number. So we're going to have a certain number of receptacles that are going to be required in B1 for the fixed wall space. And we're going to have a certain number of receptacles that are going to be required in B2 for the floor space. We're going to add these together. That becomes the total number of receptacles. But each one is treated separately in a sense that you're going to have a certain number of receptacles that you're going to apply to the fixed wall. And you're going to have a certain number of floor outlets that are going to apply to the floor area, depending on the size of the floor area. And we'll look at all that. Two separate things, but their values together is what the total number of receptacles that are required to meet the rule in 210.65B is all about. So let's go on and work each one. Let's do B1. So now B1 is talking about receptacle outlets in fixed walls. Now in our fictitious conference room, it was 2,000 square feet. We put the partition in place. So it's two 1,000 square foot spaces. So on the left space, I've got fixed walls. I got the side walls and the back wall. That's three spaces. The fourth wall is a partition. That doesn't count. So we have those fixed walls. Now, same is on the other side for the other 1,000 foot. We have three fixed walls. And then, of course, we have the partition in place, which does not constitute being a fixed wall. Okay, so we have those three on each side. We have three fixed walls for that specific space that we have to deal with. So here's what the rule says. We're at B1 if you're following along in your 2020 edition of the National Electrical Code. B1 says receptacle outlets in fixed walls. It says the required number of receptacles. Now you'll notice in the 2020 code that that's highlighted. That's for clarity from the previous edition. There was this misconception that you had to, once you determine the number of receptacles, that you had to place them on the wall at specific locations to comply with 210.52A, and that is not the case. So they made it clear. The required number of receptacles, outlets, shall be determined, and you notice that that word is highlighted. That's new. Determined in accordance with 210.52A1 through A4. What does that mean? Well, when we're looking at this room, I teach students, you're looking at this meeting room, pretend it's your living room. Any doorways that you have, any break in the floor line, you're going to do your measurements exactly the way you would in a dwelling unit, your 6 foot, 12 foot rule. Now, some people will say, Paul, there is no such thing in the code as a 6 foot, 12 foot rule. I will say that's slang that we use in the industry in order to be in compliance with 210.52A1, which is your spacing requirement. So if you've got your code books and you can look at it, here's what A1 says. It says spacing. Receptacles shall be installed so that no point measured horizontally along the floor line of any wall space is more than 6 feet from a receptacle outlet. Okay, so think about it this way. If you're measuring in your bedroom and you start from the door opening, which is a break in the floor line, and you measure 6 feet, then you have to have a receptacle within 6 feet of that door opening. Why? Because you need to make sure that you can get to a receptacle anywhere on that wall line. If you touch the wall, you have to be within 6 feet from a receptacle. Make sense? So if I touch it right at the trim of the door opening, am I going to be 6 feet from a receptacle? Yes. Now that doesn't mean you have to, go all the way to 6 feet, but that is what the rule says. So now when you hear people say, well, what's the 12-foot portion? Because I don't see that here. Well, if I go from that first receptacle that was within 6 feet of the door opening and now I go another 12 feet, if I go directly in the middle of those two receptacles that are 12 feet apart, if I were to touch the wall right there, would I not be within 6 feet of a receptacle? Absolutely. 6 feet from the one on the left or within 6 feet from the one on the right. And it doesn't matter which way I go on that wall line, I will still be within 6 feet of a receptacle. So we use the old slang 6 foot, 12 foot in order to just express the rule that's required in 210.52A1. But again, it's the point that no point on the wall line can be more than 6 feet from a receptacle outlet. You with me? All right. So that's just why we call it 6 foot, 12 foot rule. So you also notice that there's an A2, A3, and A4. Basically, this is where, let's say I had a glass, one of the fixed walls was glass all the way to the floor. And I would need a receptacle there because that's a fixed wall, but still, even though it's glass, it's fixed wall. Then I could put a floor receptacle in as long as it's not more than 18 inches from the wall. Well, I'm not really putting one in. I'm just doing a measurement. So I'm just looking for my wall spacing to come up with a number of how many receptacles I would need if a receptacle outlets I would need if I was going to install them in the fixed wall. That's what I'm doing. Once I come up with that number, that actual theoretical number, then I can come back to 210.65B1, and I can go, okay, that's my number. So let's say our 1,000-foot side we had a 2,000-square-foot meeting room. We had a partition in the middle, and we're working on the left side now. That's 1,000 square feet or less, so this rule kicks in. I'm measuring around the fixed wall. Again, taking into account any openings or whatnot, like I normally would lay out a room in a bedroom or a living room or whatever in a dwelling. Once I come up with the total number, I'm not worrying about putting them in the wall. I'm just trying to come up with a number. How many do I need to be compliant? And say I came up with 6. Okay, I need 6 receptacles for this meeting room based on the layout of 210.52A. Okay, so then it goes on to say in the last paragraph, or the last sentence, I should say, of 210.65B1, it says, these receptacle outlets, those are the ones that I just determined, by the way, these receptacle outlets shall be permitted to be located as determined by the installer, designer, or building owner. What does that mean? That means that I don't have to follow the spacing requirements in 210.52. All I used that for was to come up with the number that I need. Once I have the number, I can put them anywhere I want. Anywhere I want in that room, I'm okay to put them on those fixed walls. I can put all 6 of them right next to each other. I could space each individual receptacle outlet in the room to, it's probably the best thing to do, space them out evenly to wherever, so that they're convenient to wherever the seating is. However you want, you just have to put the 6 in anywhere you want. Now, this is a permissive statement, so if you want to follow the spacing requirements in 210.52A1, you can do that, because again, that would just be your choice, but you're not required. So an owner or designer could say, no, I want to put one here, I want to put one here, I want to put one over here. That's fine, because remember, we were only using 210.52A1 through A4 to come up with a number, how many I would need to be compliant. And then it goes on to tell me, you can put them anywhere you want in those fixed walls. You with me? Okay. So that's the part we have there first. Now, that takes care of the fixed wall. So we might have had 6, let's say, in the fixed wall. You put them where you want. Some of the common questions that people ask, they say, well, Paul, could I put a 6-gang box, outlet box, in the wall and put six single receptacles in there, six simplex receptacles, just a single receptacle? The answer would be yes, because this is an outlet box rule, not the device rule. So I could put six in there, I'd be fine. But Paul, they're all in the same location. Yeah, nothing just says that you can't do that here in this rule. It's probably not practical because we really should space those out in the room, but you could do it. Next question people ask, well, what if I want to put a duplex in there? Doesn't that constitute 12 receptacles? And I'm like, no, you do have 12 receptacles, but this rule is only talking about the receptacle outlets. The choice of putting a simplex or a duplex in there is irrelevant. It's about the outlet itself, the box. You with me? Okay. A two-gang box would be two outlets. Three-gang box would be three outlets, those type of things. All right, so that's, you know, so kind of some of the things that people ask. Want to make sure we knock those things out because I'm sure I'll get those questions. So now let's move on to the floor space. Now, this is the one that typically gets more people confused. Now, once we establish the number that we need for the fixed wall, because you remember that the charging statement in B said the total number of receptacles, so we're going for a total number, and it uses B1 and B2 to come up with this total number. So we've already done B1. Let's say we needed six to be compliant, and we put them anywhere we want. Now, B2 says, okay, let's talk about floor outlets. Because we have things like projectors and pedestals and all this kind of stuff, presentation stands and things like that. So we have to have these floor outlets if we have a certain size floor area. So let's read it. So B2 says this, floor outlets. It says a meeting room with any dimension that is 12 feet or greater in any direction. All right, let me discuss this real quick first. Prior to 2020, in 2017, it made it seem like it was only dimensional, length times width type of thing, or this type of measurement from, you know, for square spaces. Well, this change makes it very clear that it could be an octagonal space, it could be a circular space, it doesn't matter. In any measured dimension, if it's 12 feet or greater, that's the first trigger. It has to be 12 feet or greater. Then it goes on to say, if you look at the code, there's an and there. It's not an or, it's an and. So it says it has any dimension, floor area of dimension, that is 12 feet or greater in any direction, however you measure it, and that has floor area of at least 215 square feet shall have at least one floor receptacle outlet, okay? Or at least one floor outlet to serve receptacles, okay? Now, this means that I would have an outlet box in the floor, I could put a receptacle in it and it becomes a receptacle outlet, or it could be a floor outlet that is now supplying fixed furniture that has receptacle outlets installed in the fixed furniture that could meet the requirement, okay? So that's our first thing we have to establish. Any dimension measurement that is 12 feet or greater, it's the first trigger. But it also has to have a square footage area of at least 215 square feet. If you have both of those things are in play, then you're going to have a floor outlet. It could be a floor receptacle outlet, or it could be a floor outlet that is ultimately going to supply receptacles in our fixed furniture. You with me? So, but you got to have that floor outlet. So that's the first thing. Now, next people that ask, they say, well, what if the room is bigger than 215 square feet? Okay, so that means we have to read the dimensions. And people ask, okay, I get it, Paul, and I do have to put them in the floor now. How close can they be to the wall? Because the wall already has wall receptacles, so don't I need to force them to be out in the room somewhere? Okay, so here's what the code says. It says, located, and we're talking about those floor outlets here, or floor receptacle outlets or floor outlet boxes that will be used with a whip up to floor, up to fixed furniture that might have receptacle outlets in the fixed furniture. It says this floor outlets or floor receptacle outlet shall be located at a distance not less than 6 feet from any fixed wall for each 215 square feet or major portion of floor space. Okay, so let me break this down for you. First things first, in order to have a floor outlet or floor receptacle outlet, you have to have at least 12 feet or greater in any dimension across this room, whether it's circular, octagon, square, doesn't matter, any dimension, and it has to have a floor area of at least 215 square feet. That would require at least one. Now, it's kind of like the peninsular thing. Now, for each additional 215 square feet of floor area or a major portion, that would be any value that's over 50% of 215. So any value that's over 107.5 would be a major portion, because that would be a major portion of 215. So in layman's terms, that would be anything that's 107.6 or greater. That's a major portion. You with me? Okay. So I can kind of give you some examples. So people ask me, what's an easy way to remember the number of receptacles that I would need for the floor area? All right, so if it's 250 square feet, you need one floor outlet or one floor outlet receptacle. Okay, pretty simple, right? Now, a major portion would be anything that is over 322.5 up to 430 would require two, because 430 is 215 plus 215, so you'd be required two anyway. But a major portion would be 215 plus, and the major portion would be 107.5, anything over 107.5. So I usually tell people, if your room square footage is 320 over 322.5 all the way up to 430, then you need two. Okay. So the next one they say, well, what about next one? I say, well, okay, well, anything that is over 537.5, and that's over 537.5 up to 645, you'd need three. And they say, well, where do you get that from? Well, 215 times three is 645. So that would be three. So, but what if it's slightly less than 645 and you're wondering what is the major portion? Then basically you just take 430, which is the one that requires at least two. And what is a major portion of 215? It's anything that's over 107.5 all the way up to 215 would constitute a major portion. So, as a rule of thumb, I tell people, over 322.5 to 430, you need two floor outlets. Anything over 537.5 up to 645, you need three. Anything over 752.5 up to 860, you need four. You see where I'm going with this? Basically, remember that a major portion is the amount over 50% of 215. That's considered a major portion. Okay. So any value you would get above that. Okay. It could be 25. It could be, I don't know. It could be instead of 107.6, which is again, just over 50%, it could be an additional 130 square feet. So you could have a 215 square footage plus another 135. And that is 350 square feet. Remember what I said? Anything over 322.5 up to 430, you're going to need two. So that would be 350. So you need two, at least two floor outlets. Okay, so remember now, the sum that we got at the beginning of 210.65B was the total number is the value that's given in B1 and the value that's given in B2 added together. So you treat B1 and B2 separately and make sure that you have a number that's required in the fixed walls, and that you have the number that's required in the floor outlets. Again, together, that will be the total number of receptacle outlets needed for that meeting room. That's what it started out with in 210.65B. We needed a total number. But all we did was use B1 and B2 to come up with those numbers for each of those different segments, one for the fixed wall, one for the floor. And then together, those total, that equals the total number of receptacle outlets that was required for that given meeting room space. Now, we did that for the 1,000 square foot side of this 2,000 square foot meeting room, that we put the partition in place and broke it down into two separate 1,000 square foot spaces. We do the same thing now in the other side, and it's identical, so we don't need to do any more math. You need six on the wall, let's say, and then you need a minimum of two in the floor, if that was the case. If it was anything that was 430 square feet, then you would need two. If it was anything that was less than 322.5 down to 215, then that wouldn't be a major portion. Then you can get away with just one, that type of thing. So just remember, Major portion is the major portion of 215, which is anything over 107.5, because that's 50% of 215. So to be a major portion, it needs to be just over 50%. Okay. So if you kind of think of it that way, it's much easier to apply all these rules. So hopefully you got something out of this. And again, if I confused you, sorry, wasn't my intent, but we wanted to give you some additional clarity to help you understand how to apply these rules. Till next time, folks, stay safe. God bless.
Shut up and sit down.